This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. We'll talk plenty of Bills Patriots here. I want to start with one other thing. Sal, welcome.
Hi, guys. I just stopped laughing after hearing Joe say Patriots injury report shenanigans during his update. It made me laugh.
It reminded me of, like, one of my kids when you sort of ask them to do something over and over and they just never do it. Like, you just sort of assume they're not going to do it the next time. It doesn't have to be a child. Do they have to be shenanigans? They really couldn't have that many players hurt? They just have to – is it just the rule that whatever the game is, a bunch of guys on their injury report are really not
always
injured?
Always.
Yeah, the reputation precedes them. Yeah.
Defines them, I guess. Yes. I wanted to start with Houston, though, quickly.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, of course David Culley was not going to get a second season. But now you've got, and just happens to be a lot of Patriot names. I mean, Brian Flores is available. He was there. Joe Judge. I don't know if it's joking when I read people thinking about him for that job. John McClain, the longtime reporter there, mentioned Josh McDaniels for Houston. I mean, we don't know, but I wonder what it means for Watson. Because you just had this idea that he was going to Miami, and that was reported the other day that Flores was a big reason why. And if they can get him... I don't know. Is that salvageable? Is that realistic? They could maybe give him the coach he wants?
This is a good question.
So I think it's a tough spot for Watson a little bit here if he really – because, well, maybe not for him. Here's what's interesting to me. From all the sourcing and reporting that we had heard about this thing going back to when it all started, it was never the coach. It was ownership. That's why he wanted out. Like, he has a problem with ownership and however some things were handled or things said and things like that. And then it's like, yep, I'll go to Miami because Flores is there, right? I mean, that's been like, I have a relationship or for some reason. So if you bring Flores to Houston and then suddenly I'll play for him, what, you don't have a problem with ownership anymore? Like, I don't know how all that washes out. It's got to be one or the other.
But by the way, Joe, I think you sort of brought that idea into my head. So I didn't want you to think I was just stealing that from you because Joe was talking about Watson in this way too.
Well, I stole it from Ross Tucker. So
Joe stole it from Ross Tucker.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think that's part of the reason. Immediately when John McClain, I read the report, as soon as Culley gets fired, John McClain reports that Flores is a leading candidate. And there's a natural tie in what you said. That's exactly right. And you would think maybe they're doing it because they're going to bring him in and say, and by the way, it's also Caserio has a relationship with Flores. Apparently, they're very tight from their days in New England. Yes, it's a natural line to just draw and say, we're going to bring him here because maybe we can salvage this relationship with Deshaun. This is why we didn't trade him. We think he can be here. When David Culley was hired, a lot of people, you know, were wondering about Deshaun Watson. Okay, can this help? And Deshaun apparently said, I like David Culley. He's a nice guy. It doesn't matter. It's not about him. It's about the ownership, essentially.
Right.
Okay, well, you're going to bring Brian Flores in. You're going to change your tune? I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like this is there's a lot that we'll never probably know. But the impression that I've been under all this time is the problem is with ownership, and I think it's partially racism, if not largely racism, or just being patronized, because going back to wanting a say, like Watson wanted to have some input, and my impression is he was patronized, you know, that ownership sort of gave him the, oh, sure, we'll let you have a say.
That's right.
But you know what, really? Stay over there, player guy. You know, stay in your lane. It's not yours to decide. And look, you know, that happens a lot in football. And you have to massage those things. And I would bet that Houston ownership did not like a player, especially a black player, raising up and saying, like, I want a seat at your table. And that he felt that, and that's it. Like, that would be my guess. Like, if you could ever get a candid 60 minutes interview with Deshaun Watson where he wanted to spill it, that's what the story would be. I would bet heavily on that. I don't know that, but that's what I suspect. I mean, the owner, the original, the father, the patriarch of the family, is the one who made the comment about the inmates, right? The inmates running things, like comparing the football team to a prison because of the spectacle of the protests around the anthem and all that stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's real foundational problems there. And man, you're right, Sal. I think it would be a tough, if I'm at all correct in sort of guessing around
and
this.
And I think you're really right on. I think you're right on.
I think you'd have a hell of a time if you're Deshaun Watson saying everything's fine now because Brian Flores is here. I mean, I think that's tough.
And as much as you said, Mike, like, you had to kind of know, like, David Culley. Look, that's right. I'm sure David Culley knew, like, okay, I might only be here 1 year. Like, they're not really setting me up for success here. There's no doubt. I still think he did a really good job under the circumstances. He steadied the ship a little bit. Yes, they got blown out in some games. They were not a good team. They were in some games. They won some games. They beat the Chargers at home. His players seemed to really like him, and he resonated. I think in that situation, it's like, well, I still tried to show you how good of a job I could do despite what you handed me, and I think I did a good job, but yet they're moving on from him. And I think it's like, you know, if you're going to do that to the guy, maybe they did this. Maybe they went to him and said, just so you know, you're getting... We'll pay it for 3 years, whatever it is. We're going to move on after 1 year. I doubt that happened, but it's almost like they should have done that because I think they clearly made up their mind no matter what he was going to be a one-year coach.
Sal Capaccio with us. All right, back to the shenanigans. So the Patriots injury list is long. The Bills have nobody. Clean bills of health. Joe, you can use that.
Wow.
How much credit do they deserve for this?
I think a lot. So I think we've had this discussion for about 3 years now.
Yep.
And I still and the longer it goes, the more credit they deserve because we're still having this discussion after 3 years that every single year they seem to be. And I know there's a lot of luck involved, and you've pointed that out, and that obviously is true. But it's also true that they invested a lot into sports science and medical and training. And the very first thing essentially that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean did when they got to Buffalo was – that has to be upgraded, that facility. Availability is key to us. We want our players here to – we want to have hands on them to understand what they're doing, and we know what they want and they know what we want, and we're going to make this a lot easier for them to be available and do everything they need to be the best versions of themselves physically and mentally. And I think it has worked. And I don't know any other counter how it hasn't worked, and we can say all of it is luck. Well, guess what? After 3 years – I don't know how much of this is just luck.
It's always some of both. It's always some of both. I mean, they do have players on the injury report. This is, of course, you know, to exclude that. But it really is amazing, whatever the causes are. I mean, I think, too, a team, there will be – I don't think there's, like, necessarily that big of a range. But I'm sure it has to be right that some teams are more judicious than others when it comes to playing time, practices, you know, things that are meant – to have their players in the best condition possible for the end of the season. Like, this is a team that was always going to the playoffs this year, which is a kind of a nice advantage in this way, that you don't have to strain players to squeak out wins, you know, down the stretch or anything like that. I mean, they had a relatively easy year, so that would help, too. There are always going to be a few factors.
Mike, did you – a couple things on this. First of all, I tweeted out a stat the other day, pretty remarkable. The Bills have actually used – the fewest amount of players in the whole league this year. They've used, in their entire roster, they've used 63 players in a regular season game. That's it. Mm-hmm. In a COVID year. It's incredible.
Right.
The Patriots have used 65, by the way, the second fewest. The Bills have only used 28 players on defense the entire season, which is amazing. Right? So, like, yeah, they have this... they have, like, all these players, practice squad, all of that. But obviously the main part of everything they're doing, guys are staying available for them. The other part I wanted to bring up here. Oh, yeah. Did you read what was coming out of Cleveland like last week or this earlier this week at the exit interviews? There was a safety, Johnson, I think his name is, who said one of the things he told the media was that he told the team they have to be better in this area. He said we need better communication with our training and our training staff. And he suggested like yoga and things. And I'm like, well, who doesn't do yoga these days in the NFL? Like, this is something everybody's doing, I thought.
Johnson.
So I do think there's got to be something to this kind of thing where there are ways to do things to help your body. There's no doubt. And I think the Bills are pretty much at the forefront of that.
I think it's like the draft. When it comes to the draft, there are bad teams. There are teams that don't have good process. They don't have whatever. Like, they don't have the internet. The Raiders have drafted, I've said many times, like, they didn't have the internet. But you can only be so good at it because of the randomness. I mean, I think this is like that, where there are like, Washington didn't even have a trainer. Washington's medical team, if that's not too strong, got busted for stuff. Like, I don't know what exactly, but nothing good. And so there was a report the other day, too, like this Cleveland thing. There was a report the other day, too, that Washington's thinking about adding a trainer. Yeah, good. Good idea. Good. Yep. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah. I think the draft comparison is it works in a certain way, or maybe in any way you'd want it to, because, like, you can – Fred agrees. You can monitor closely, you know, analytically, like practice time, the body, and try to limit like the soft tissue type injuries, strains, and that sort of stuff. But there's no avoiding someone stepping wrong on the turf in New Orleans and tearing your ACL. That's just good. That is sports. That's going to happen. And that's just how it goes. But like the day-to-day, knowing when to sit guys down, I think if you're paying extra attention to that, and I feel like the Bills 4 years now through Sal telling us and other sources I've read, I just feel like they are very much on top of that. The sports science behind the physiology, all of that, they do a really good job. So, again, it doesn't mean you're going to bat 1,000. Who is going to in a sport this violent? But I think they deserve some credit for the state of their team at this point in the season.
It probably also helps to be really good, right? Doesn't that seem logical? That if your team is stronger than the other team, you should be able to maybe escape a certain physical punishment that the other team would not be able to escape.
You mean because guys rest like later in the game?
No, because they're like a more dominant team.
They're not overmatched physically.
Yeah, I mean, that might just apply to the Lions. And they've had injuries up front. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. These are all professional athletes, and they all have like 300-pound guys on their teams and the guys that run 4.4s, and, you know, they're all – they play 17 of them over 18 weeks. I mean, I think the difference there, the margins are pretty small there. So I don't know. There are good teams that have injured players too. So, you know, I don't think that's – as much. I don't know, Mike. I think it deserves more credit than you want to give it. That's what I want to say.
Baltimore lost everybody. That was a good team that lost, you know, everybody this year. So
yeah.
I don't know what their mistake was.
With them being as healthy as they are, what do you suppose that means to wide receiver? That might be the juiciest position here, because we have the McKenzie game from the last Patriots meeting. You've got Sanders back. That would impact Gabriel Davis. What do you think we'll see playing time wise at the receiver position?
I wouldn't be surprised if they elect to make Marquez Stevenson inactive. I cannot see 7 wide receivers active for this game. Not the way that it's going to be played, not in these conditions. You're probably going to make sure you have extra linemen, extra, you know, defensive linemen, offensive linemen. So somebody's going to be out here. And I would think that goes right to the return game. We have not seen Marquez Stevenson. He was inactive last game. Isaiah McKenzie. Now, I can't see if you want to say, well, yeah, Stevenson, though, they might want him back there because of his explosiveness. Well, I can't see Isaiah McKenzie not playing because of what happened last time these two teams play when he was matched up with Miles Bryant. And then we know, you know, Micah Hyde goes back there sometimes. So I think that's number one where you start. It's really interesting to me, the X's and O's part of this, guys, which is I think if the Patriots decide to play a lot more zone defense, I think we'll see more Cole Beasley, because that's what he is really, really good at. And I think if they go back to playing more man-to-man like they did in the game in New England, then I think we'll see more Isaiah McKenzie. I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup. And without Jalen Mills on the outside, their corner, I think this means that, you know, Beasley, Sanders, whoever it is, like, I'm expecting both of them to play and the Bills to try and find that matchup and whichever one works, and Josh Allen to be able to figure out, you know, which one, who has the hot hand or whatever that on that night.
Mentioned earlier tweeting something. You tweeted some stats, Bills players, like where they ranked at the end of the season. I thought one on Allen sort of, I don't know how surprising this should be, but just sort of liked it. 6.8 yards per pass attempt, 6.25 yards per rush. Allen, right? Like they almost,
that's amazing.
Because my sort of simple throw the ball all the time premise is passing plays are better. But when it comes to this Bills season, I mean, a lot of his numbers were really up and down passing wise, completion percentage and, you know, interceptions were not great. 6.8 yards per pass attempt, whatever that ranked. 6.25 yards per rush, which is one of the best numbers in the league for any player, like running backs, right?
It's going to be better than that. It's number two. You know who number one is in the whole league?
Is it a quarterback?
It is not. And he just found enough Debo? Carries to qualify recently, actually.
Debo Samuel?
No, it's Rashad Penny.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah.
Rashad Penny, actually, he was not even in the stats leaders most of the year, if not all the year, and he showed up after week 18 to pass Josh Allen. Yeah. Otherwise, Josh Allen would have been number one, but he got enough carries to qualify. And by the way, Josh Allen didn't have a ton more carries either. In fact, he might have had less, but Penny caught him at the end of the year, basically.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Can I give you another stat, though, Mike, on that note? Because you brought up yards per attempt. And it is low, like compared. He took a huge drop this year. You know what someone pointed out to me, and it's true, and I went and looked. Josh Allen has the lowest yards after catch average of any qualifying quarterback in the league.
That sounds
only
right.
Only 4.25. Like that's a big area where they need to find improvement. I would say in the offseason, I'd like to find it before Saturday night, but you know, that's an area that they have not been good in, obviously.
Yeah, no, a lot of that. We talked a lot about this, I don't know, three quarters of the way through the season. You know, a lot of their catches are with your back to the defense. In other words, like Cole Beasley, yep, for example. But a lot of the receiver, all of them, they're just facing Allen. Or you've got these plays where he will scramble out to the right and throw to the boundary. And so you're throwing to the boundary, you're going right out of bounds. You catch the ball. So it sort of – the design of their offense, I think, limits largely those opportunities. Where we saw it, really, McKenzie running away from the DB in New England was some – you know, it wasn't like an explosion or anything, but it was notable, you know, because you don't see it that much in this offense from any of their guys.
And I think part of that – is the way teams have played this team to force things underneath. You're playing that zone defense, that's where you do. You go to a spot and you turn around. There's nobody covering you man-to-man, so go find the spot where the zone is open. You turn around and Josh Allen hits you. It's go to the fire hydrant, Joey, and turn around and I'll throw you the ball when you're playing out in the backyard. That's exactly what they've been doing.
Yeah, his air yards have never been, like, they've always been strong. He throws the ball downfield. But, you know, that's a good point. Good read on that. All right, Sal, you got anything else? You want to talk about Carson Wentz for a minute? That sounds kind of over.
I went back and last night watched a couple. So this press conference today was interesting, right? I mean, they say that about Carson Wentz. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly to me they're going to move on. He said it without saying it. I went back last night and rewatched that Joe Judge press conference. This isn't a clown show because I hadn't seen it. And then I watched the McCaskey one you guys were talking about the other day. And Olin Krutz and all that kind of. Did you hear that story about Olin Krutz and all that?
Right, they offered him a job to be like some position on staff for $15 an hour.
He claims that, and what happened was Olin Krutz said it. He tweeted it. Whatever. He's on the radio. McCaskey was asked about it, and he basically said, basically, he's a liar. This is what he does. He just says these things. And you have to take things with a grain of salt. And it started like this huge war because he basically called him a liar at a press conference, this all-time player that, you know, one of the better players they've had over the last couple of decades, basically. It's crazy. It was really, really wild. So, I think there's a lot going on. Every time you turn around, it seems like, again, a new firing, whether that's GM or head coach. There's going to be a lot of openings this year. We've seen now the Bears have requested both Dable and Frazier, and so have the Dolphins. The thing with the Texans today, it's going to be a very interesting offseason in the next few weeks specifically.
We might even get Seattle after today, too. There are meetings, at least.
This goes to Joe's stat. Joe, how many coaches have coached into their 70s?
Three out of 511.
Marv, Halas.
And Carroll.
He's the third.
But not multiple
only?
Seasons. This is his first season.
First season. Yeah, the only that have done it multiple seasons are Halas and Levy. That's it.
What's Belichick? Belichick is almost 70.
He'll turn
69
70
right
in,
now, I think, right?
In April. April. I was writing about this maybe being his last game ever, that was like a whole section of it. Like there's 100 years of sample size that tell you that grueling schedule of a head coach, like the cutoff is 70.
Well, if Pete Carroll is let go for any reason, he will not get to the multiple seasons. This is it.
Good stuff. You're right. There is a lot of news. We've also got our game to focus on, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Not a trivial game coming up. Sal, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
John Clayton, speaking of Seattle, coming up today at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month. Eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
My playoff message, man. We're going to do what we always do. We coming out here, we playing fast, we playing physical, especially up front. We hear all the chirping. We hear guys talking about us and everything like that. That ain't nothing. We're going to strap it up. You know, we're going to let them pass talk come Saturday.
Jerry Hughes, what are we? 48 plus 4, 52 hours-ish from kickoff. It'd be very late. Be a very long day Saturday. Long, cold day. Hopefully it's worth it in the end. Long days. So I just got to... press release from NBC. They always send them out. They're annoying because, like, the headlines on these are always like 30 words, all caps, bold. They cross all the way across the screen and then overlap. Like, as a former headline writer, this is offensive. I hate the NBC releases because of that. But sometimes I'll read them, and this one is about how Mike Tirico will host the Winter Olympics primetime show in Beijing through February 11th or whatever it is, 10th, and then fly to L.A. where he will host the next night of Olympics from L.A. so that he can be in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl pregame show. NBC has the Super Bowl. So he's basically just, like, he'll finish his shift in China, get on a plane, and then however many hours ahead that is, be in Los Angeles and just, like, do the next Olympic shift right after that. I've got nothing against Mike Tirico. A lot of announcers drive me nuts. He's not one of them who does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out how impressive this is.
Does he go right back to China after the Super Bowl? Or
no.
Is that... I'm not sure what the...
Unless he's doing that on vacation, no. The Olympics will be over.
Right, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long of a trip that is. I will assume that it will be on a plane so comfortable that it would make us physically sick. So, you know, it's not like he's going to be, you know, picking, trying to find an exit row to make sure he's comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, the it is still flying, but I think it's a very, it's you know, if the Madden Cruiser had wings, I think exponentially even nicer than that. Like, I think he's just going to be set up in a really nice aircraft for that flight. So I wouldn't think that that will be that taxing myself, but I'm not the one who has to do it.
Sounds right. But I think you're right about the plane. It's a longer flight than mine. I mean, L.A. to Maui was 5.5 hours. L.A. to Beijing has to be like double that.
Yeah, I would think it's quite a ways. Yeah.
Yeah, right? So 11, 12 hours plus the time difference, you're kind of like right back to work. I think that's the point, that he's doing that. That he's like just not, basically not even leaving work, although he's flying from China to Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, in his downtime.
And probably sleeping for most of it.
In this case, his downtime is uptime. He'll be in the air.
Oh, I see what you did there.
He'll be in the air.
Yeah, that's a dollar.
How about this Viagra thing? No puns coming on this one. How about this Viagra thing? Bart Scott says when he played, players took Viagra when it was cold for blood flow. Just leave it at that. He thinks Josh Allen should do that. Dawson Knox was asked about this, apparently, and said no. he had some particular, I don't want to be wrong here. He said no plans to do that. You probably have to, you know, test it.
He said you'd need the prescription, and I don't have one. I think was a part of what Knox said.
And something else. There was something else about why it wasn't a good idea.
Because he heard you can test positive for
PEDs.
Right. PEDs, right.
Fail a drug test. Yes.
I'm not sure how I want to raise already I'm in I'm not sure how to bring no. You know the warnings that you hear in the commercials?
Yes.
Right. Well, that seems like that could be a problem.
Seems relevant.
Yeah. Like, I just, that seems like, I mean, Bart Scott would know. I don't know, maybe there's an amount of dosage you can take that will get you the supposed thought to be benefit of warming the body while not leaving you in a position where you better see somebody if a certain thing lasts more than 4 hours.
Right, sure.
Yeah. So I think I'm doing okay so far. It was a tough start. So like that seems like a risk you wouldn't want to take to me.
Yeah, you definitely want to have some practice. If you're even going to. If you're open to it, you just don't want to do that for the first time probably and have the game be like your first go round.
Right.
When it comes to this. But who knows? Like, it's just, I like it when you hear, like, what about this idea over here? You know, we've had this with COVID a lot. Do I want to take that other chemical or something that's normally used for something else? I think I'll ask my doctor. You know, I think they might have good advice for me before I just go ahead and do that. But there's things all the time that you learn that you didn't know about how the world works. I bought avocados. This I'm actually going to transition out of Viagra into avocados. I bought avocados my last grocery trip, and also bananas. Oh, and we keep the bananas. What? We're done with that one. We're done with the Bart Scott.
I know, but you're talking about avocados and bananas.
Yes.
And there's a certain imagery in my head right now, and it's impossible to escape.
Stop. So it has nothing to do with that. We keep the bananas in one part of our kitchen. Like, the bananas don't go in the fridge. They go in this bowl. We always have bananas in this one bowl. Yep. And the avocados don't go in the fridge, so the avocados end up, all the onions and everything that don't go in the fridge, they all sort of sit together on the counter in one part of our kitchen. And so when I was shopping for avocados, I always do this. I want one that's ripe, and I want one that isn't. Or even like this, in this case, we bought a third one that was kind of medium.
Yep, I do the exact same thing.
Like a Monday, Wednesday, a Monday avocado, a Wednesday avocado, and a Friday avocado. It's like that. So I got home from work two nights ago, Tuesday. Shopping was Sunday. Tuesday night, My wife mentions, like, she's in the kitchen when I walk in the door, and she's like, oh, I messed up. What? All the avocados went bad, or like they're already just like they're at the end. We gotta make guacamole. Gotta use them tonight, or else it's too late. Like, what do you mean? I make a special effort to pick a variety when it comes to their ripeness. Damn. And she said, "Well, no, you put them next to the bananas." And I said, "So what?" And she said, "Well, like, all right, this is one of those where I intentionally did not look this up."
Yeah, what, like, okay. The bananas are attacking the avocados? Like, what is...
They both give off a gas that accelerates the ripening of the other.
Wow. I really? Never would have ever had the slightest clue that this is the case.
It's amazing. Yeah. I hope it's true. Yeah. She knows a lot, so I sort of... When she says something, I assume it's true.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do not keep the bananas near the avocados in our house. I don't buy avocados.
Try
it. I don't like avocado. My wife buys avocados. I do buy bananas, and I always am looking for like the perfect, because right, like you buy six or seven bananas. You need a certain amount of green there, because I'm not going to eat three bananas a day, right? It's like one banana a day. And so if I get that many bananas, they got to be a certain level of still green where, like, really the first banana you have is probably not quite ripe enough. And maybe the last banana you have is right on the edge of being overripe, like, not good. But, like, in the middle, you're trying to max out, like, ideal banana. And so I stand there at Dash's at the, like, I am surveying. I'm trying not to touch everything, because you don't really have to touch bananas. By sight, I can trust. But I am very particular about the ripeness of the bananas that I purchase.
Sure.
But now I know if I ever see them near avocados, or now I want to, like, is that true of anything else? Like, the bananas are usually by themselves.
Well, we might have someone on the line who knows. Okay. Jerry, you seem like you might be knowledgeable about this.
I kind of do. I don't know what the gas is, but for years, a company in Rochester, a supermarket based in Rochester, had these ripening rooms for bananas. They had vowed for years to never put a green banana on their shelves, that they'd be yellow. So they had these rooms that had this very specific gas in it that caused them to ripen very quickly, and they stopped doing that because of the cost and the volume of the bananas, but there are gases that accelerate ripening of fruits, all and right. Wegmans used to do it with bananas for decades.
All right, good. Thank you. I had no idea. New thing. This is a new thing.
Yeah, see, now,
for some
and
of
I,
us.
And I don't want yellow bananas when I buy them. I want them to be, like, just about to get yellow.
Yeah, right. Me too.
That's where my wheelhouse is. if they look perfect to eat right now, nope.
They also seem impervious to inflation. Everything is more expensive, but bananas are still like $1.13 for a bunch. Right. I just do not. Every time I buy bananas, I'm just like sort of taken by how inexpensive they are. Aren't there steps of the process that should make the price higher than $1.13 for a bunch of bananas? They have to travel a long way. There's
packaging.
Apparently
bananas are impervious to the supply chain crisis.
Right.
That a lot
there's,
of the world
there
is
are special rooms. You need special rooms in your store. It still costs a buck for a whole for six, seven bananas. Amazing. Right, Joe?
I'm kind of experienced all this banana. I'm only recently in buying bananas, I would say, at a consistent rate.
What's up with that?
Well, I don't really like bananas on their own, but this health thing I'm doing this month, you can only eat certain things, and one of the dessert things that you can do is, it's kind of like banana ice cream. So I'm buying a ton of them, because you're freezing the bananas, and you're throwing it in a blender with almond milk, almond butter, and like some cocoa powder.
Nice.
And it's like, it's healthy, but
yeah,
it's
super
like
good.
Chocolate banana ice cream.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Good
so I've
you.
Been buying bananas recently.
I like the sound
but
of that a lot.
Before that, like, I'm not a banana guy, really.
Well, you have to get some and put them next to the avocados and just sit there. It's like watching paint dry. No, it's better than that. It's faster because maybe you can actually see it. Maybe
Are you allowed to eat peanut butter during this thing, Joe?
No, it's got to be almond butter.
Gotcha. Okay.
Almond butter is better. yes. tastes way better.
It does.
It's more expensive. It's super expensive.
Yeah, by a lot. By a lot.
You get what you pay for on that one, I say. Almond butter.
Yeah, tree nuts. You can do tree nuts, but no peanuts on this thing.
Tree nuts, not peanuts.
Yep.
This was a segment. John Clayton coming up in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
If you're really honest, are you going to sit there and say, I can build a team around Tua? Because that's what Ross wants to hear. That's what Brian Flores wouldn't say. We've seen all the conversations that Flores, you know, had with Tua. I mean, look, I don't think Flores was shy about telling him, hey, I should have picked Mac Jones. In fact, I know that he wasn't. You know, I remember I said there was commentary between the head coach and Tua during the season, and I wouldn't reveal what the conversation was. Well, the conversation was, hey, if I'd have knew you're going to be this bad, I'd have picked Mac Jones.
Michael Lombardi, if you need him, he pulled back some of that too after it got out. What's the show? We got to say what the show is.
GM Shuffle.
The GM Shuffle. Bulldog, you said it yesterday, and I didn't stop and think, but it was so right as usual. This man continues to entrance listeners. Yesterday, a guy like just I could not. I was so your best rant ever. Here's a guy who can just say, make a call, three little words, and the city explodes with joy.
Make a call!
You said, what let's get happening? Some bets on the bet board, because a lot of them have been settled, and I totally agree. All we have up there is, will Ryan Tannehill ever start and win a Super Bowl, me and Joe, and you and Joe, will Buffalo have a 100-degree day by the end of this year?
Today's a good day for that.
It's first ever. So you pick a game. Let's just like figure out a game where we're on different sides. Very brave of me to bet against you when it comes to picking games, but I'm willing to do it. For the sake of the show, for the sake of the company.
We can't just wait and do this when we get the picks tomorrow. Like, what's your problem here?
Are you feeling rushed?
A little, I guess. I mean, I haven't even. Maybe you could tell when we were talking to Joe Ostrowski. I've not looked at the lines. I've looked at the. You know, I know what the games are. I'm alive and I'm a football fan, so I know who's playing this weekend, and I have, you know, an idea of how I want to go, but. Not being sure, like I think I know who's favored, but I'm not sure of the numbers. So I'm not sure I want to commit to anything yet.
Mike, where are you on Cardinals Rams?
I'm on Arizona.
I'm on the Rams.
I'm on the Rams.
Okay, there it is. Four.
Yep, fine. Yeah, I don't need any more. I don't need. That's enough thought process right there.
I thought we could figure one of these out. At least,
stalled for enough time there. Yeah. I'm thinking I want – it sounds to me like you're going to be on the 49ers.
Boy, I can't tell. I can't decide.
And I think I'll want to go against you if you do that. I mean, I'm thinking I want to be on Dallas, but I'm not positive yet. Mike McCarthy kind of scares me.
Yeah. That's a really – I don't know what to do with that game. I'm trying to build these high-stakes fantasy playoff challenge lineups. I love – the mental challenge of this, where you're picking one player per team. You're limited to one player per team. There's actually only 12 spots, so there's two teams you leave out. And it's for the whole playoffs. You never change anything. Once the first game kicks off, it's frozen, right? You have until 4:30 Saturday. And I don't know what to do with Dallas-San Francisco, because I think Dallas is live as a Super Bowl winner, like four games. But they're a three-point favorite at home in the first game. Like, they didn't really, I guess they didn't impress that much. So, I don't know. Maybe San Francisco, when the line looks like that, I sort of want to be on the team that, where it doesn't make sense to me. It's not like it's the craziest thing ever, but I sort of want to be on San Francisco for that reason, which is maybe why you said that you expect me to be on San Francisco. Like, that would be why. Mm-hmm. They're fine. I don't think they're bad or anything, but Garoppolo in there with those Hellraisers on defense, I mean.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't. I don't like him at all. And I love Prescott as a player. So, boy, am I really going to pick San Fran plus 3 points? If it said seven, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I don't know if I want to give seven, but okay, yeah. It would look more like the Bengal game or something.
Uh-huh, right.
So I can't tell you. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. And, you know, in that fantasy context, what? Is it like Debo? I mean, lots of guys on either team to pick from. And the big challenge here is figuring out how to get that one right. It's going to be tough. John Clayton. So there's a coach firing, another coach firing today. What's going to happen in Seattle? We will ask. He might not like it. Sometimes he doesn't like it when we ask about that, but we will ask him. That's the job. And, of course, Bills, Patriots, and the wild card game. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.